15. All right. Economic outlook. Welcome, everybody. We're going to get started on our budget and economic outlook. So I guess I'm going to turn to Budget Bob. And
Well, actually, this is Adriana's show, and I'm not going to
talk
to her, so we're going to let her take right off.
Okay. Who does the work over there? Go ahead, Adriana.
Good morning. This is. Can everybody hear me well? Is this on? 7 years, and I still don't know when it's on and off.
Yeah, it's on.
It's on. Okay. Good morning. This is our quarterly budget and economic outlook, where we take a look at the health of the general fund. We look where we are biennium to date with our general fund revenues and expenses, and we project out where we're going to end the biennium. And we also discuss economic trends for the national economy and for the local region. And this is today's roadmap. That's the roadmap we usually take. We first give you an overview of the general fund budget as it currently sits with the current budget. We discuss revenue and expense performance through the current period, which is through September 2014. We only have 3 months left in the biennium. We're 18 months through. Then we project out where we think our reserves or unassigned fund balance are going to end the biennium. And today's projections are also going to include the final adjustments that we anticipate to make in the November supplemental. They have not been approved by the board yet, but as they currently stand, we will include those projections in our final figures for anticipated ending reserves for 2014. And then we'll go through the national and local economic outlook. And this presentation is available on the grid, and it contains sufficient information for those who have not attended to be able to go through it and get a very good idea of what the bottom line message was for today. So the summary of the work session for today, the current budget for the general fund, as planned, is using $11 million from our unassigned reserves. That doesn't include another $4.7 million that we call dedicated reserves or assigned fund balance, which was money previously set aside for specific purposes. So we're planning to use $11 million from unassigned reserves. The current forecast that we will discuss, including that November final adjustment that we expect to make, and all of the updated revenue forecast, we expect to use only $3.4 million. So we're projecting $7.6 million in savings from additional revenue and other expenditures. That would put our reserves on track to reach that recommended level of 52 days as of the beginning of next biennium for 15-16. And then we'll overview the national and local economy status, which continues modest improvement, which is pretty much in line with the assumptions we've used for our projections in building the budget and the revenue forecast for 15-16. But significant downside risks remain, which have actually increased since the spring of this year, and we'll discuss what those risks are. So to start with the current status of the general fund, this is our current spending plan. This is before any adjustments that will be made in the final supplemental on November 4th. This shows the planned expenditures. $314.3 million is what's currently budgeted, and the total resources, of course, have to equal those expenditures. That's how we plan to pay for those budgeted expenses. And we have $298.6 million in budgeted revenues from 13-14. Those are our expected revenues in the current budget. We have the $4.7 million that's coming out of dedicated reserves that I've mentioned, and that includes money set aside for Tidemark replacement system, the sheriff's records management system. It includes the event, the fair support, one-time support for the fair fund, and then we have $11 million of reserves planned to be used out of unassigned fund balance, and that's the portion of the fund balance that we care about and that we project out, and that's the one that we always compare to the ideal recommended level of 52 days. This is how the general fund is faring the current performance through September of 2014. Starting with revenues, what we're currently seeing is property tax and sales tax doing above the forecast. In fact, in our November anticipated supplemental adjustments, we're going to add $1.2 million to the sales tax forecast and $500,000 to the property tax forecast. We will also adjust some other revenues downward. There are some revenues that are not doing as well. The ones that are probably standing out most are court fees. We also have miscellaneous revenues like recording fees, traffic tickets, revenues that are not coming in as projected. So we're going to make those adjustments in the final supplemental. We're updating the revenue forecast in November. We're actually adding overall from revenues that are above the forecast, we're adding $2 million overall, but the supplemental as a bottom line is adding $2.4 million in revenue, and that's coming from grants as well. There are a number of grants that are going to be added with equivalent expense. So the total bottom line change in the November supplemental that we anticipate is $2.4 million added to fund balance. On the expense side, biennium to date, we're seeing $4.7 million savings in expenditures. We're projecting that by the end of the biennium, we will see another $2.4 million in savings. And part of this will be a very difficult to project amount of savings that we do see each biennium that is harder to quantify until we actually see those savings realized at the end of the biennium. It's that part of the departmental budgets that we call controllables, which is professional services and supplies and so on, that they actually have full authority and access to spend all the way until the end of the biennium, and we really only know what it is when we close the biennium. In this $2.4 million, we're anticipating to see about $2 million in that category of savings. We do see an amount of savings each biennium, but it varies significantly, and it is hard to project. But at this point, we are projecting that in addition to the $4.7 million of already realized savings through September, we are going to see that additional $2.4, which includes controllable savings from under from departmental under expenditures of controllables. We're also adding expense in the November supplemental. So the November supplemental is coming with $2.4 million in revenue, but it's also coming with an additional $1.9 million in expense. And some of the things that we're doing in the supplemental, we're reimbursing the road fund for risk premiums. We're sending some support to facilities maintenance for additional work they had to do this biennium for the general fund departments. There's an increased budgeted for indigent defense based on their actual needs for the biennium, and we're adding miscellaneous grants that come with revenue as well. So the net expense savings by the end of the biennium, by the time we're adding in the supplemental expenditures, is $5.2 million. So if we're putting them together now, the expense savings of 5.2 and the additional revenue that we'll recognize through the updated revenue forecast and additional adjustments in November, we're looking at $7.6 million in total projected savings. And what that means for the status of unassigned reserves is that we're projecting to only use 3.4 out of the 11 million currently budgeted to come from unassigned reserves, which would put us by the end of December 2014 would put us at 21.1 million, the actual number, in unassigned reserves. Now that translates to 52 days in terms of 15-16 baseline operations. And one day is basically one day of general fund operational expenditures. It's about a little bit over $400,000 a day for baseline operational expenses as the baseline currently sits for 15-16. That would translate to 52 days. This number can vary. 21.1 million, maybe 52 days next biennium. It might be a different number depending on what happens to our daily cost of operation. That number can change, so it's a little bit fluid. But at this point, we are projecting that we are going to start the biennium for 15-16 with coincidentally the recommended level of unassigned reserves. So that being said, turning to the status of the economy and examining whether that's still, those trends are still in line with the assumptions that we use in our forecasting and budgeting. We're currently seeing the global economy improving. Weak spots do remain, and we'll talk about risks having increased since this spring. We're seeing slow growth in Asia, actually slowing growth in Asia, with a concern for China and weak growth in Europe. And that is very concerning because of international trade ties. The U.S. economy continues moderate growth. We're seeing improvements in jobs, consumer confidence, and retail sales. Actually, the August-September retail sales and consumer confidence reports were a little bit surprising on the downside. Consumer confidence just had an unexpected decline in September. After reaching a six-year high in August, it actually declined in September because of consumers' short-term outlook. And retail sales report that just came out, I believe, yesterday for the nation was kind of weak. It was on the weak side. But overall, looking at the past 6 months or so, we're seeing good, modest improvements. And the economy is projected, which is the GDP, is projected to grow at 2.4% in 2014. We've seen a contraction in the first quarter, most likely due to the bad weather, followed by a catch-up in the second quarter. And the projection is at 2.4% for 2014. There are some issues that remain in the U.S. economy on the horizon. Labor force, there's been a lot of conversation among economists about labor force participation declining. That remains an issue. And basically we're seeing unemployment nationwide is at 5.9%, so that's below 6%, which is for the first time in 6 years. We're creating jobs, about 225,000 jobs a month on average, which is a good number. But what we're seeing is a decline in labor force participation, which also is part of the reason why we're seeing a drop in unemployment. The drop in unemployment, a good part of it is due to the job creation. The other part is labor force participation dropping, and there's debate between economists on why that has happened. A good amount of that is the fact that the retirement, the generation that's retiring. But another part of that is discouraged workers dropping out of the workforce, and also young adults. The market is very competitive for jobs, so a lot of young adults are going back to college for more education. The labor force participation actually declined to 62.7%, which is the lowest number since 1979. It was 66% in 2007. And I believe every percentage point is about 1.5 million workers for the U.S. national economy. And that's concerning because fewer workers means fewer government revenue. There's less paying into Social Security, into Medicare. Generally, that fewer people working puts pressure on some social programs. So that is a concerning trend for the economy. The other conversation that's been out there is about wage growth lagging jobs. We're seeing good growth in jobs, but wage growth is actually still lagging. And there's actually generally a trend for wages to lag job creation. That's normal. When we see unemployment rates going below 6%, usually that's where wages start catching up with a more competitive job market. So hopefully we will see improvements with respect to wage growth in the short-term outlook for the economy.
On that wage growth, how do they measure that?
They basically look at the wages for workers, and it's broken down by various occupations, and they adjust for inflation in order to compare apples to apples.
So that's what I was wondering. So inflation would play a part in that, and the reason I look at that because we have increased our wages here, but yet the national wages have gone down, and so it's based against the cost of living.
Right.
So we could actually have a wage increase and still have wage lagging.
Correct. We could, because of inflation, if inflation is higher than wage growth, then yes, that is not a good trend. And typically when economists look at anything that has to do with income or wages, they will adjust for inflation.
What would cause the cost of living to rise if the wages are going down? sale of homes would be less. So what would...
Commodities.
Right. Oil prices are the first ones that...
A lot of the consumer price index.
That might turn around in the last month because of the oil prices.
Right. Bottom. Oil prices have been going down, which is kind of an unexpected trend, actually, because with all the tensions that we're seeing in Ukraine and Russia and the Middle East, there's actually an expectation they might go up, but they actually have not been doing that recently. So... The housing market also slowed down. It's still growing, but not at the same accelerated rate that it grew at last year. And what we're seeing there is interest rates actually have reached a new low, the lowest since they've been since, I believe, June 2013, as of yesterday, which is a good thing because there was a lot of concern that with the federal government stopping its reducing its buying back bonds program, the interest rates would go up. There is conversation about possibly interest rates going up next year, but they should still that policy should still remain accommodative. So that is a concern. But a lot of the distressed inventory in the housing market has been exhausted. The cash sales and the investor purchases are down. So right now, the health of the housing market depends a lot on accessibility to credit and on job creation for income purposes. Looking at our Clark County economy, Clark County added 5,800 jobs in the past 12 months. The annual growth rate was actually very good at 4.2%. That compares to 1.8% nationwide, 2.5% state of Washington, and 3% in the Portland metro area. Our July unemployment rate, which is the latest correctly adjusted rate that we have, is for the month of July, was 6.8%. That compares to 6.5% nationwide, 5.4% in the state of Washington, which, of course, includes the Seattle area, which is a big driver of the statewide rate, and then Portland Metro, 6.3%. And most of the job gains that we've seen in Clark County occurred in the sectors of trade, transportation, and utilities, which was 1,500 jobs or 5.9% growth. Professional and business services, 1,200 jobs, 7.3% growth, and construction added 1,000 jobs or 10% growth. Our housing, oops, I think I went two slides over there. Our housing situation, the inventory, as of the latest report that came out yesterday for the region for September in Southwest Washington, the inventory was at 3.7 months of supply. That is on the low side. Inventory, healthy inventory is usually between 4 and 7 months, lower in the summer, so that's a little bit on the lacking side. The median home sold for $245,500 in September. That was up only 4.2%. from September 2013, so we're seeing a deceleration in how home prices are growing. Looking at our new construction activity, countywide residential building permits issued through August, if we compare them to the same months in 2013, single family 1,113 permits compared to 1,183 for the same period in 2013. Just for statistics, the 10-year average for 2003 through 2012 was 1,338 permits. So we're still doing lower than that historical average. There's still room to grow for single family, but right now there's more demand for multifamily. And we've seen 690 permits for the first 8 months of the year compared to the same period in 2013 when we saw 840. However, that's still much higher than what we would typically see. The 10-year average for 2013 through 2012 was 180 permits for this time of the year. So there's still strong demand for multifamily. The other data that just came out, the countywide taxable retail sales, which drives our sales tax revenue, they rose 9.2% in the second quarter of 2014 compared with the second quarter of 2013. Construction, and this is countywide, construction-related sales were up 17% and vehicle sales were up 6%. We've seen for a few years a double-digit increase in vehicle sales, and that's slowing down as the population has finally replaced after the recession the fleet that all those replacements that were delayed, we're seeing vehicle sales coming down to a more normal level of activity. Those double-digit increases are not there anymore. Finally, I wanted to remind you of the risks to the local and national economy. The global recovery remains uneven and fragile. The European unemployment is still high. We're seeing about 11.5% in the Eurozone. And the International Monetary Fund actually reduced their forecast for global growth for 2015 and 14 to about 3.3% globally. And they warned that the world economy would not return to the level of growth we've seen before the recession, which is above 5%. So we're expecting numbers somewhere in the range of 3 to 4% for global growth. Emerging markets are slowing. There's concern about China's economy slowing, and more recently, Brazil. The housing recovery is seeing a slowdown. Again, interest rates could possibly decrease. Price increases are slowing down. But because we've seen large price increases last year, affordability is decreased, which makes it a little harder for buyers to get into the market. We've seen quite a sudden 20 to 30% increase in prices over a year. And then we're also seeing geopolitical tensions, and that's one of the large reasons why risks increased since this spring, because of the conflict with Russia and Ukraine, which intensified this summer, and conflict in the Middle East. That poses a number of risks to the global economy. It reduces business confidence and the willingness to invest. We could potentially see increases in oil prices. We haven't seen them yet, but that's a danger out there. Weaker financial markets and all the sanctions and counter-sanctions that come with disruptions to trade and finance globally. So bottom line, bringing it back home to the summary, the general fund, we're projecting to start the 2015-16 biennium with a recommended reserve level of 52 days if all the savings materialize that we're projecting. The current economic conditions and expected trends for modest growth that we're using in our county forecast are holding. We expect the forecast to stay as is for now, but that is subject to significant global and domestic risk to the economic growth rate that remain that we've discussed. So that's all we have for today. Do you have specific questions?
Looking good, even though it's not something you want to take to the bank. I'm happy with what we've done in Clark County, and that's reflected there. So, any comment?
Looks good to me. But just to punctuate Adriana's concern about the risk, the stock market is currently crashing.
Again? It dropped 300 yesterday and jumped back up 100 this morning. Now it's going back down again. So. Here.
There is even a solid body of thought that the Ebola crisis is affecting the stock market. So we're in a whole new world.
The bottom line is we are right where our recommended reserves are to be.
Correct.
And we're being cautious, careful. The indicators look like they're pointing in the right direction for us, but make sure that we're paying attention. Yes.
I did have one quick question to ask you. You showed on your chart that you spend $400,000 a day. Is that based on 5 days or 7 days a week?
That's based on 2015-2016, the entire baseline operational budget for 2015-2016, divided into 365 plus 366. We have a leap year coming. So that comes to a little bit over 400,000. And I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to mention the 52 days refers to the baseline operations, doesn't assume any decision package requests that have been submitted for 15-16 being approved.
Healthy and stable.
Great. We have a couple minutes. Anybody have a question they'd like to ask? It's a lot.
Can I come to the microphone? For the recorder?
Yeah.
Something that we brought it up in the retreat a couple times, and I don't know if you can go back quickly or not, Adriana, but that slide that shows sales tax revenue, And kind of since having to have gone through a recession and make cuts, my soapbox speech has always been kind of a conversation around what we do as county leaders to make sure we're very smart about following the trends in sales tax. And what I've talked about in the past with others have talked about this too, but when you get into consistent years of double-digit increases in construction and sales tax, do we start rolling a portion of that into one-time accounts like capital or something? Anyways, I just bring it up because I saw that.
Commissioner, you're going to receive very soon an amendment to the fund balance policy. Mark Gassaway's been working on it for the finance team that will address that very issue. Our intent is to designate true surpluses above the forecast, and those surpluses will be sent to the permanent reserve in order to improve the stability of sales tax forecasting, which we all know is a very rocky road. So that specific issue, you'll be getting an opportunity to see here very soon.
Very thankful that we have a conservative financial team here. We don't spend when things look like they're looking in the right direction. We add to our reserves. Great.
And that sales tax, you know, I keep going back, and that fee holiday that we have out there, and we're shoring up from the general fund back to the permit office when necessary. I recognize that we cannot tie direct strings to that, but it's unaccounting why it has shored up and gone up, and I believe that it has to be a recognizing force of that.
Commissioner, that's definitely a factor in considering taxes. What you're going to face very soon as we go into the 15-16 budget is that rising taxes don't always equal rising revenues. And we're going to have to address general fund revenues as a whole, of which taxes is only a portion. You saw from Adriana's presentation that we were adding to the revenue, but at the same time, other revenues were dropping. So we have to keep the big picture of net in mind. When we talk about taxes, that's wonderful news, but it's not the whole picture, and it's not going to cure the whole problem.
I know that in years past, we had a decline in our sales tax.
That's absolutely a major decline in our sales tax.
Thank you all very much.
I thought you were going to go on that third drop through. I got the account ready to go.